Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege it is to be in this building this morning, dear God, to hear your word, Lord, to worship you, to lift up our voices to you. Dear God, you're worthy of it all. And Father, I pray now, Lord, as we go forward in this service, this morning service, Lord, that you would bless it, dear God, that you would sanctify it, dear Lord God, that you would be with us. Yes. And give us what we need, dear God, to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, that we may be faithful, dear God, that someday you may say to us as we come on home, Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to fight the good fight of faith today. Lord, we just love you, lift our voices to you, and glorify you in everything that's said and done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all may be seated. Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad this morning that my soul is no longer in prison.
Glory.
I've been freed, fast bound in sin I was. Listen, it says that hymn there, Charles Wesley knew something. Charles Wesley knew something. He says, no condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him I find. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. And I have the ability now to boldly approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ, my own. Glory to God this morning for that song. Thank you for coming out to church this morning. I'm excited to be here this morning. Just a few announcements before we go into our next song. We finally got the church membership and friends little booklet made. So what I'm going to do before I hand them out, got it right here. I'm going to lay it right over here by these other lists that we have. Take some time and look through it. If you want something added, if you want something taken off, I got this little sheet right here, this handy-dandy sheet. Write on there what you would like added or removed. And once I have the two, then we'll go back and we'll print them out to can them out for everybody to have for the members list. So I'm going to set this over here. Again, as already mentioned by Ralph, this morning was our church picnic this coming Saturday, the 29th, from 12 to 2. Thank you to the mayor who's here this morning for helping me get that pavilion that we have over there this coming Saturday from 12 to 2. All are welcome. Hope to see everybody there. The Lord blessed this Thursday. We got to go out there and hold up some signs there on Airport Road, and it went a lot better than what I was expecting.
Really?
I'm used to being in the South. You can still get stuff in the South. I ain't saying that. But I was expecting coming up here that there'd be a little bit more of a different reception. But actually, praise the Lord, it was just the opposite. People going by, honking a horn, putting their thumbs up. Praise the Lord. It's good. What church you go to? Good stuff. And I thank you for everyone that came out. Thank you so much for all the brethren that came out to help out with that this past Thursday. I want God to bless us. Listen, you can take a track and try to hand it to somebody. A lot of people would say, no, thank you. Appreciate them. They're nice to you. They might take it. And 2 minutes later, throw the trash can. But I'm telling you something. When you hold up a sign, people are going to read it. Whether they want to read it or not, I don't care if you're an atheist or what you are, you're going to read my sign because that's human nature. You're going to be like, what you got? What you hold over there? And you're going to read it. And the scripture of the Holy God is going to get in you because you ain't got no choice because you're so curious. Right? And so that's why we're out there holding up scripture signs to read the scriptures. We didn't say nothing out there the whole time other than what church you go to. Just holding up Bible. Just read the Bible. You want hope, you depressed, you down, you out. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the only answer in this times that we're living in. So I'm excited about that. I know I said it. I'm going to do it this Thursday again. I'm going to go up. If anybody wants to go, I'm going to be out there again because it's going to be a testimony again. If you want to come out, no force, I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to ask why weren't you there because your back was hurt or something like that. But, you know. No, I'm joking, bro.
I deserved it.
No, I'm joking, bro. He knows I'm joking. I'm just playing with him. He just said his back hurt. I was like, okay, that's what they all say. Even, no, I'm just playing around. No, seriously, no arm twisting. If you feel led to come out there, I know some people are like, amen. I get that. I understand. So no pressure. But I'm going to try to be out there again this Thursday again. From 6 to 7, just an hour, we're out there. It was a good time. God blessed it, I believe. So hopefully this week we'll be able to get the church sign made. I got a lot of my wife's plate here. Look, she just gave me a face when I said it. She's like, we're going to try to get it done. Okay, amen. At least people can see wherever we go to church, phone number, to get in contact with us. We're working on that. I also apologize about our church sign. It's coming along. I got one side painted. I'm I'm getting the glue was a little more on there than I thought the glue should be on there. But I finally got it off. Now we're painting it, trying to get the vinyl printed out for it, so we'll go here soon. We'll have our church sign up. Real quick after the service, again, just need to meet with the men real quick. This one should be a quick one. The last week was a little bit more than what I said, but just meet real quick after the service. And that's about all I have. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Brother Jim. He's got an announcement to make for everybody here at the church.
Good morning. I'm going to read two scripture verses. First one is Genesis 2:18. It is not good that man should be alone. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So I guess you all know where I'm going with this. Okay. The rapture don't come and the Lord is willing on Sunday, June 13th at 12:30. It's going to be a wedding. Amen. Me and God is struck. Rules. Okay. We want a wedding that will be short, simple. Rick, Don, and I call it a no fuss, no muss wedding. We don't want anybody here to think they have to do anything. We don't want anything. We don't want anybody for any extra work or anything like that. So we're just going to make it real simple, real tradition, but maybe somewhat off tradition. But we're going to have food downstairs. We're going to have probably subs, some salads, and drinks. That's about it. Everybody is invited. I say after service, if you can't, no, we won't take it badly or anything like that. If you need to leave, I understand you have to be back at 5:30 for the service. We're just going to keep it simple. Like I said, there's going to be sandwiches, chips, and everything like that. So if you want to stay, you can stay. Now, Don's going to probably maybe have some family coming in. My sister's coming in from South Carolina, so she'll be here. Other than that, it's going to be hopefully short and sweet. And just to let everybody know that Don and I are out of here at 2:00.
I'm glad for that. You know, they come up to me and ask me if I do the wedding. So, you all know, how long have I been here? So it's been a lot. So we're gonna have another wedding June 13th. Like he said, after the morning service, we're gonna do a little short ceremony in front. So he wants it short. It's gonna be short, quick, and we'll eat some sandwiches, and they'll be out of here by 2:00. Amen. So, this is another thing I want you to just keep in prayer, if you could. If you could keep Sister Florence and Sister Margot in prayer. So, I called up the nursing homes. And so, Lord willing, hopefully, I got to talk to them again on Monday. Get in there and see them. That God will just provide a little bit more. He'll go visit them and meet them. You can pray for that. And also, another thing I'd ask you to pray for, we're trying to get set up right now. We're trying to figure out the technicalities of it. I'd like to set up a video sermon one day, real soon here. And the reason I'd like to record a service video or live video it is for Brother Les and Sister Nancy. Amen. And I'd like to, we're working on it right now, Melanie and I, just something else that we're trying to get together. We're trying to do it to where even before the service starts, we all say hi to them and wave to them, tell them we miss them, tell them we love them, and that they can also watch the service as we have it on a Sunday morning. So just pray as we try to get the technicalities of this worked out to where they'll be able to watch it from home, and we can tell them that we love them, we miss them, and we're thinking about them. So just pray that we can get that worked out, and also with the visit to Miss Florence and Miss Margo. So appreciate your prayers with that. Amen. We're going to go into our next song here. If you take your blue hymn book, if you're able to stand, page number 155. quit, you'll understand it someday. If you don't quit, you'll understand it. Amen. Well, we got one more special this morning. One more special. Glory to God this morning. Glory to God. I don't know about you, that's why I come to church. Amen. Amen. I'm taking this jacket off this morning because I'm hot. Hot this morning. But I'm glad that I'm here this morning. I'm glad that I know my Savior this morning. Do you understand this morning? I'm glad that I know my Savior this morning. You can take this world and you can keep it. I'll keep Jesus. I know there's, listen, there's a lot going on out beside these doors here. But I'm glad, I'm so thankful, I'm so glad this morning I can come in to church. Now, I understand it's not the building. I understand that the building's not the church. I get that. I'm not going to get technical this morning. I know the church is us, but I'm glad I got a building to come in this morning. I'm glad there's a piano in here this morning. I'm glad that I can lift my voice this morning to Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I can praise my God this morning. I'm glad I have the Word of God this morning that I can read, that I can study, and that I can stand upon with all that's going on in this world. Right? There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on all over the place. Not just the United States of America, everywhere. But do we expect anything different? Listen, if you spend any amount of your time in your Bible, especially the New Testament, you know, according to the Word of God, that it is only going to get worse and there's nothing you're going to do about it. All right? You know there's nothing you're going to do about it. There's nothing you're going to do about it. The only thing you can do about it is found in that book, and it comes through prayer and the scriptures. Look, who's the God of this world? The devil. Bible, that's Bible.
The devil's the god of this world. So if the devil's the god of this world, my God is greater than that God, little g. My capital G-O-D is better than the little G-O-D that's the god of this world. Right? And so how did Jesus Christ, what keys did he give us to have victory over the devil and the world? What did Jesus say? Three times to the devil, what did he say? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Where is it written? My heart standeth in awe of thy word. I don't stand in awe. Oh, there's some things I stand in awe of. But the greatest thing that I stand in awe of is that this book and God Almighty, the creator of all mankind. You say, preacher, you're a little stirred up this morning. Yeah, I'm a little stirred up this morning. I'm a little stirred up this morning. You know why I'm a little stirred up this morning? Because last night I was sitting at home. I said, Lord, there's like three things I believe that Lord would have me preach this morning. And one of them was I thought that we were going to start going through the book of Matthew to start studying the book of Matthew on Sunday mornings. And I said, well, so I started working on that. You have to forgive me for a second. My voice is a little hoarse right now. So I thought, well, maybe I'll start going through the book of Matthew. And then I said, and then some other things come in my mind about the tabernacle and how I'd like to get in and study the tabernacle and how it applies to a Christian and all the things we can pull out about the tabernacle and how it shows the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was sitting there last night trying to figure, okay, which direction to go with it. And all of a sudden, boom, it's like the Lord slapped me upside the head. He says, Chris, I want you to preach on why has the church lost its power? Why has the church of God today lost its power? Listen, when you had D.L. Moody, when you had Billy Sunday, when you had Hudson Taylor, when you had Adoniram Judson, when you had some of these great preachers of the faith, listen, when they went into a town, George Whitefield was another one. When they preached the word of God, things happened because there was power behind it. Now, I said before, if some of you didn't listen to my messages, I believe we're in the Laodicean age. I don't believe we're in a Philadelphia church age. So what I'm saying this morning is I don't believe like all of a sudden we're going to have this huge great revival that's going to sweep the whole country and everybody's going to come back to Jesus Christ and God. I don't believe that's going to happen. But I believe you can have revival in your own personal walk to where you can have a victorious life through Jesus Christ in these last days that we're living in. That you can have joy in your life, that you can have thankfulness in your life, that you can have happiness in your life because of what God says that we're more than overcomers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why has the church lost its power? Why can't the church influence anything no more? And I don't know how long we're going to study this because we ain't all going to touch it this morning. It might be an 8-part study on Sunday mornings. I'm not sure because the Lord doesn't give me a whole bunch of stuff on this thing. We definitely ain't going to look at it this morning. But the first thing of reason I believe the church has lost some of its power is a true church has lost its power because it has failed to put on the armor of God and has dropped the sword of the word of God in the mud. One of the reasons I believe the church today and Christians don't have victory today like they need it for the world to see a difference in them is because they're failing to put on the armor of God and they've taken the word of God, which is a sword of the God of the Spirit, and they've dropped it in the mud. They left it off to the side and they say, I got this because I know Jesus. That's not what God set up, and we're going to see it from the Bible. God didn't set it up just you going off of what you feel or what Jesus is telling you. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? I don't care what Joe Schmo out there says. I don't care what Charlie says. I don't care what Fox News says. I don't care what CNN says. What does the Bible say? You say, preacher, you're stirred up. Yeah, I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up. Listen, the church has placed its focus and fight on carnal, fleshly, and worldly fights and battles rather than focusing on the spiritual battle for human souls. We're more concerned about what's going on in the government than the average person passes by and us that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're more concerned about what the government is saying us to do, what the government's trying to put across, what the government's trying to implement, rather than what Jesus Christ said to put the emphasis on. And Jesus said through Paul, he said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, rebuke. Well, I don't like to be rebuked. Well, get used to it. Because whom the Lord loves, he rebukes.
Good.
Rebuke, reprove is the next one, so it ain't getting much better for you. And exhort with all long suffering. See, a lot of churches say we just want it all happy. We want all this joyous. Amen. Glory to God, you know. And then we go out here and we live like the devil. And our attitude stinks. Everything about what we do stink. And we wonder why the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Again, I'm not saying this to people in this church. I'm just saying some things that I've had to deal with the last 6 months, son. Staying on the phone sometimes for 3 hours because somebody wants to tell me something else about something else they heard and none of it's Bible. I'm not a psychologist, nor do I want to be one. I'm not a psychiatrist, nor do I want to be one. I'm a preacher. By God's grace, I'm going to give you the Word of God. Amen. And by God's grace, I'm going to give you the Word of God. Take your thoughts off of the government and what the government is doing. And get your thoughts and your armor back on for the real battle that matters, and that's men's souls. Well, Trump did this, and Trump, Biden does this, Kamala Harris doing this. Pray for him and be worried about your neighbor that's next door. Brethren, this is, look, you say, preacher, you're crazy. Look, if you vote me out tomorrow, you vote me out tomorrow. I'll keep on preaching this Bible. I'll keep preaching this Bible. Look, I'm more persuaded of this than the very air I'm breathing right now. The Lord was like last night. And I ain't coming in here saying I'm some prophet or I'm somebody special. Actually, I'm a big piece of crap. I know what I am before Jesus Christ. I know I'm vomit. And it's only by his grace that he saved me. And that's why when I sing these songs, tears just come down my eyes. Because I'm thinking, Lord, why do you love me so much to save me? For how vile and wicked I am, yet I know he loves me. So I realize what I am, and I'm not coming in here like some spiritual lord over you all. But this stuff, listen, God's ringing my bell, and God's saying, Chris, this thing is serious because we're getting into the very last days that we're living in. And the world needs to see a difference that God creates through his precious word. You know what the word ad nauseum means? The word ad nauseum, well, I'm going to be ad nauseum to you this morning. The word ad nauseum means referring to something that has been done or repeated so often that it becomes annoying and tiresome. You're going to get annoyed at me this morning, and you're going to get tired because I'm going to go at ad nauseum of what the Bible says. You know what a diversion is? Some of you men in here, you're in the military. I believe this is exactly what's going on today. Listen, if you don't hear anything I'm saying, I want you to hear this. Any man that's been in here in the military, you know exactly what I'm getting ready to talk about. Listen, I've been over to Iraq. I've been over there to Kuwait. I've been over there to Saudi Arabia. I've been all over Africa. I've been down all through South America. Listen, I provided security for the Secretary of State, William Cohen. I provided security for Department of Homeland Security. I provided security for Secretary of State. Listen, I've done all kinds of things when I was in the military that I don't talk about. But I do know what this is, my time in the military, my time in law enforcement, is that an enemy will often cause a diversion. And you know what I think is going on right now and everything that's happening out there? It's a diversion to get our focus and tension off of what truly needs to be done onto what the diversion is. And the enemy sees it, and as soon as he sees that turn, he's going to pop you in the side of the head. That's exactly what's going on today in the church. The church is looking at the diversion while the enemy's coming in the back door. Diversion means this, in war, the act of drawing the attention and force of an enemy from the point where the principal attack is to be made. As by an attack or an alarm on one wing of an army when the other wing or center is intended for principal attack. That's exactly what the devil's doing. The devil's not stupid. He's a mastermind at spiritual warfare. Do you hear me this morning? The devil is a mastermind. He's a 4-star general when it comes to spiritual battles. And that's where we're to fight. Take your Bible, look at Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Brethren, I'm telling you, person after person after person after person taking a 4-hour walk with somebody and discussing these matters and trying to get them to see what does the Bible say. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in whose power? And in the power of His might. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Whose power and whose might do we need to be strong in? The Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says next in verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why do I need to put the whole armor of God on? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is where the fight's at. The fight is in the principalities, it's in the powers, it's in the rulers of the darkness world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have the mayor in here this morning. She's part of government. But this, I'm going to say this. There's corruption in government. Amen. There's corruption in businesses. Amen. Some of you were talking to me about some businesses, and there's corruption in businesses. Do you think there's not corruption up higher up in the White House or in Congress? There's been corruption since Adam and Eve. Do you know there's conspiracies in the Bible also? The word conspiracy is mentioned, I think, 8 times somewhere in there. There's been conspiracies way back. From the very beginning, the devil hates you and hates me and likes to see us dead. This is not something new that all of a sudden in the United States of America it comes on scene in 1776 and all of a sudden conspiracies come out of somewhere. America is a little baby when it comes to history. This thing's been going on since the beginning of time when God created Adam and Eve from Cain and Abel. It started off right from there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. And then he lists the armor that you need to put on. But this morning, we're going to look at verse number 10 where he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The only way to withstand spiritual battles today is in the strength of the Lord. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 9 and 10. Paul told the church there at Ephesus, he says, finally, the last thing I'm going to tell you, brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord and in His power of His might. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 9 and 10. Look what Paul says to the church here, to the brethren. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We don't want to be weak. We don't want to be weak. We want to think we got it together. Paul says, through Jesus Christ, that His strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weakness, in my distresses, in my persecutions, in my necessities. Why? Because when I'm weak, then am I strong. If you've never read the book by Harlan Popoff, Tortured for Christ, get that book and read it. Harlan Popoff, tortured for Christ, a Romanian preacher right after communists ended over there in Europe. He was thrown into prison for, I believe, 13 years. Horrible what he went through. But he said that was the closest sometimes in that prison he was ever with God. Some of those old martyrs were put on the racks. The Catholic Church, and I meant to bring it in here. I forgot to bring it this morning. I was bringing my book, Martyr's Mirror, and it's about that thick. It's a huge book. It can knock somebody out. But it goes, that whole book goes through those that were martyred for the faith because they didn't go with what the Catholic Church was saying to do when it came to infant baptism, when it came to the Eucharist and those things there. And they just said, no, it's not Bible. We're not going to do it. So they would take young ladies and they would take screws and they would screw them into their shins to get them to recant. They would put them on a rack and they would pull the ropes to where all their joints would pop out a joint to get them to recant. You ain't going to find that in the Bible. But that was what was done. But you see, you take history like that and you sweep it under the rug. Nobody knows it's there. And we're too lazy. We're too worried about Fox News is saying and we're reading what history and what things have been done to us as true Bible-believing Christians. And the girls, listen, there's a story of a young girl in there. I think she was 18 years old. And those priests were trying to get her to recant her faith in Jesus Christ. And they said, if you don't recant, we're going to screw screws into your shins. And you know what? When they were getting ready to screw those screws into her shins, they had to lift her dress up a little bit. She was more worried about being immodest than those screws going into her shins. God bless that precious girl. God bless that precious girl. She was more worried about being immodest in front of those priests than those screws that were getting ready to go into her body. And we say dress don't matter. God help us. You know why the church has lost power? Because we've lost what the book says. Amen. And we think that we sing a little praise song or something and everything's hunky-dory fine. But the wave's getting ready to come back in. And I believe the church, you're going to find real soon the lines drawn in the sand of where the true believers are and those that are just fake and are just word. And I pray to God that I have enough grace and character to be on the right side of the fence when it happens. Brethren, this stuff is serious. This thing, I'm telling you, Lord, slapped me upside the head last night. Slapped me upside the head. Infirmity means this, an unsound or an unhealthy state of the body, weakness, feebleness. Paul said, I'm made strong when I'm feeble. Reproaches mean to charge with a fault in severe language. You get cussed out, Paul says, get ready for it because it's going to happen to you. Persecutions, the act or practice of persecuting, of inflicting pain or punishment or death upon unjust, particularly for adhering to a religious creed or mode of worship, either by way of penalty or for compelling them to renounce their principles. Preach the word, but if you preach the word, chances are you're going to get persecuted for it. But do it with the right attitude. Look at Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Look what the book of Colossians says. Look what Paul says to the church here. Colossians chapter 1. Look what Paul says through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. First two things you see here, what Paul put the emphasis on and what he's saying that he prays for them. And then he says here that they have a love for the brethren and for the saints. Verse number 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bring forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. How does Paul say to the church there at Colossae? He says that you bring forth fruit. How do you bring forth fruit? The Bible says there in verse number 5, through the word of truth of the gospel. Are you concerned this morning about bearing fruit? Or again, are you more concerned about what's going on all around us? Everything is falling apart all around us. Are you more concerned with that? Or are you more concerned with your fruit production for the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, preacher, what's the fruit production? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, brotherly kindness, godliness, holiness. Are you concerned about that fruit, or are you concerned about what's going on out there? But, brethren, there's a reckoning day someday. Everybody in here right now that hears me? Someday you taking that last breath and you pulling out of here unless Christ calls us out first. Everybody in here at some point, you taking that last breath, you crossing on over, and that's when it's going to matter. It ain't going to matter if you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do this out there. Christ is going to look at you and say, what kind of fruit did you have? Because what did Jesus say? By your fruits, you should know. What do you put the emphasis on? Do you put the emphasis on Jesus Christ and his word or on anything else? My dear brethren, I love you this morning. I love you dearly. But if the emphasis is on anything but the word of God, you're wrong. I love you. If the emphasis is off of this book and on anything else, and that's what matters, and this doesn't, you're wrong. You're wrong. We got judges here. I'm sure in Catasauqua, they got a police department, so they probably got a magistrate court or something where you got to go for your speeding tickets. And usually it's a judge that handles that. And I've been before a lot of judges before when I was a state trooper, so I know standing before a judge. But a judge doesn't make a decision basically off of their own whim of like, you know what, I think I'm just going to charge you $5,000 today because I really don't like you, and I know it's only a simple parking ticket. No, a judge has to go off of a statute book. Somewhere in this county, there's a room full of books that have codes and statutes on them. And you have to abide by those things. And a judge, when it comes to a speeding ticket, when it comes to a homicide, when it comes to manslaughter, whatever the charge is, there's somewhere written in a statute book, somewhere here in this county, that tells the exact charge, minimum and maximum, for that specific crime. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? This right here is a statute book. This is what God's given us to say, listen, this is what you're going to be judged off of right here. This is what I'm going to hold you accountable for over what's written right here. Not anywhere else, not anything else out here. He's going to hold you accountable to what does the Bible say? What does his word say? The word of truth. Not what Preacher Chris says, not what Preacher Gary Freeman says, not what Preacher David Cloud says, not what some church denomination says, not what a president says, not what a king says. What does the Bible say is what you're going to be held accountable for when it comes to eternity. Paul says here in verse number 7, as ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Look what he says in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see what Paul's putting the emphasis on? To the church there at Colossae, he says, listen, he says, my desire for you is that you might be filled with what? Filled with what? With the knowledge of his will. Whose will? God's will in all wisdom. And what kind of understanding? Spiritual understanding. For what reason, Paul? Look at verse number 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Here it is again. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in what, Paul? The knowledge of God. What are we supposed, how is our knowledge supposed to be increased? Don't argue with me. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that our knowledge should increase of who? Of God. Strength, look what it says next. Remember we look back at Ephesians chapter 6. Look what happens when you do that. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. Oh, there we go. There's a bad word. A bad word in the Bible. Patience. And what? Long suffering. Not only do you got to have patience and long suffering, but Paul to the witness of the Holy Spirit also had to add this last part in with joyfulness. So not only do you got to be patient, you got to be long-suffering, but not only give you those two things, you got to do it with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Brethren, you've been translated this morning. The Bible says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, as the hymn says, "Amazing grace, I once was blind, but now I see." Paul says here to those in Colossae, he says, "Who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." The question I have for you this morning, have you been translated this morning? Have you gone from darkness to light? Have you been made free through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a serious question this morning. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So Paul tells Timothy, I've committed some things to you, and hopefully you'll teach those to other men, and those men will teach other men as well. What is he supposed to teach other men? He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul says that thou will endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For what purpose? "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Are you entangled this morning? I don't need to know the answer. I want you to answer the heart in your heart. Are you entangled with the affairs of this life? Are you entangled this morning with the affairs of this life? Paul says to Timothy, he says, no good soldier of Jesus Christ should entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Look, on D-Day, a horrible day for our soldiers. Horrible. D-Day was horrible. God bless those men. I don't know how they did it. They were getting off those boats and they're charging that cliffside, getting mowed down by those machine guns, and they're just coming wave after wave after wave. You say, preacher, why are you bringing this up? Because some of them got entangled. They're trying to charge the beach. They're trying to go after the enemy. And there's barbed wire set up and there's these embankments set up. Anything to slow them down from getting to their objective. Do you not think that the enemy of your soul is going to put barbed wire out there to get you snagged on, to get you crippled up in, while he takes shot at you with fiery darts, as it refers to in Ephesians chapter 6? Brother, do you not see the battle that is waging right now? Do you not see what the enemy's doing and how he's setting these things up to try to get you tripped up off of what the real focus should be on? Some of y'all this morning, you're caught in the barbed wire. You're caught in the barbed wire and you're not concerned about getting out of it. You're just trying to fight the barbed wire. The barbed wire is not the problem. The problem is you're taking your eye off of what really matters, and that's how you got caught up in the first place. You're snagged with something that's got its hooks in your soul right now, and it's tearing you down instead of lifting you up. I say this, brethren, the enemy wants to get you depressed. The enemy wants to get you down. The enemy wants to get you to quit and say, what's the use? But just put the gun to your head and end it. It's not worth the fight. It's not worth the battle. It's not worth going through all this stuff. Just put the gun to your head and end it. That's the voice of the enemy. And when you put your focus too much on that out there, that gives prime opportunity for the enemy just to pound you. That's why the church is losing its power. That's why the church is losing its power. The church is in a very weakened state right now because its focus has been taken off the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, and its focus is more concerned with Fox News. Brethren, I'm telling you, you say, this preacher's crazy. Yeah, I am. But this thing has been dogging me, burdening me, not being able to sleep at night, hounding my head, hounding my thoughts. And the Lord's saying, Chris, wake up, son. I'm not saying it to you, I'm saying it to myself. Wake up, son. Wake up, son. Reckoning day's coming, and all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. Flip on over there for a second. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. Look what Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. Look what the Bible says there. Well, look at verse number 25. Hebrews 9, 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood for others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them, look what it says, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking to Jesus this morning? Are you looking to Jesus this morning? Are you looking for that blessed hope this morning? The glorious and blessed hope of the God, of the Lord Jesus Christ coming through those clouds someday? Brethren, I don't want us to be, when he parts those clouds and he comes back on that horse and he calls us home, I don't want us to be going up off this ground having regret because we didn't do what God wanted us to do while we were here. Because we were more caught up with something else. And we go home ashamed when he calls us home. Just like a soldier can go home ashamed because he didn't do what his general told him to do. Do you realize who we claim to serve this morning? Do you realize who we claim to serve? We claim to serve the Creator of all things. We claim this morning that we serve one who bled on a cross for our sins. He shed his, God was crucified on that cross. God's blood was shed on the cross of Calvary. And we claim that that's the one whom we serve. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things. Isn't he worthy of it this morning? Isn't he worthy of it this morning? The one that we claim to serve. The one that's going to come back on that white horse like we've never seen before. And he's going to have that vesture. He's going to have written there on his thigh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you think he's not a baby in a manger no more? He's not a little lamb that's going to get spit upon anymore. He's a line of the tribe of Judah. And someday he's coming back and it's going to be a reckoning day. Amen. That's Bible. Great. But I'm concerned about something else going on. Brethren, look, I said this before, brethren. Look, I'm sitting in the same seat. Look, ain't nobody come up and say, well, this preacher thinks, no, I'm sitting right here with you. Well, this preacher's got it all. No, I ain't got nothing together. The more I read, the more I realize I ain't got nothing together. I said, God help me. God help me. It concerns me when people say, yeah, I know the Bible. I got the Bible. I'm pretty good at the Bible. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. Anybody that comes to me, calls me up on the phone, talks to me in person, as soon as they say, yeah, I know what the Bible says, all right, okay. You're reading a different book than I am, because the more time I spend in it, the more I realize I don't know nothing. This book is something else. God, help me to learn the things you want me to learn to do. You see, brethren, humility, walking with God, making sure every day you wake up, you're doing his will in your life. Making sure every day you wake up, you're putting the armor of God on. Making sure every day you're taking up that sword. You have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Your loins are girt about with truth. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. People, you got the breastplate of righteousness on. And you got that sword in your hand. And you walk out those doors realizing there's a spiritual battle I'm getting ready to take place today. And I might be going to the warehouse to work, but it's still a spiritual battle back behind all that's going on there. Because there's souls at stake. Why won't they hear when I try to talk to them about Jesus? Because you're weak. Because the spirit of, you've got something in your life that's quenching the spirit of God. Therefore, when you talk about Jesus, it ain't got the same power behind it. Brethren, we got this misconstrued notion in our mind that if we just claim and just say the name of Jesus or plead the blood over something, God's got to do something. That's not how it works in battle. I was raised Pentecostal. I spent a lot of time in a Pentecostal church. And a lot of time they want to plead the blood of Christ. But you can't plead the blood of Christ if you've got legal room. The enemy has legal right to be there. You say, preacher, what you talking about? I'll give you an example. You got an ungodly movie in your house, and something starts happening in your house, and all of a sudden you want to start playing the blood of Jesus. Jesus ain't going to do nothing with his blood till that movie's out of that house. Or that ungodly music that you're listening to. God ain't going to, you can say Jesus all day long. God's not going to do nothing till you stop listening to that ungodly music. And the enemy knows it. He'll just sit there and be like, I ain't going no, you can say Jesus all day long, plead the blood. I ain't got to go nowhere because you let me be here. Brethren, these battles are serious. It's the last minutes of this time. Listen, if Paul and John were saying the last times 2,000 years ago, where are we at right now? We need power. We need power. Ray Street Baptist Church needs the power of God. Though the persecution may come, you can still turn the world upside down. That's what happened with the apostles. They stood before those councils and they made comment that these are the men that turned the world upside down. And they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have Snapchat. They didn't have the internet. You see, we're spending more time on all that nonsense. We're spending more time on that nonsense than with God, and that's why the power's gone. They turned the world upside down without Facebook. They turned the world upside down without having to have Instagram. Why? Because they got alone with God. They fasted, they prayed, and they spent time with one another in church. And they grew around the scriptures and the word of God. And they had power with God. God doesn't need our means and our modes of operation to get something accomplished. He says, humble down and walk with me, son, and watch me do something through your life. That's what God requires. Let's reduce the numbers like Gideon. Let's reduce the numbers. No, Gideon, you got too much in your army now. Take it down to 300. But God, they got like a million people out there. I know they got a million people out there. But I want you to realize when the victory comes, it's not you that did it, but I that did it. Gideon, you need to get humbled down a little bit. Because you're too prideful. You think by your numbers, you're going to get this victory. I don't care what numbers you got. You only get the victory if God's behind it. God's looking for one man, one woman to stand in the gap. Stand in the gap and do what, preacher? Intercede. How do you intercede? You get down on your knees. You get alone with God. You fall before your face and say, God, help me. I'm wicked. I'm undone, God, but I need you. That's where the power's at. But we're missing it today. We're missing the power. Because we're entangled. I'm going to close with this last scripture, Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. Time's short, brethren. The time is short. The time is really, really short. And as your preacher, as your pastor, by God's grace, I'm going to throw the warning sign out there. I'm going to throw the ring. I'm going to ring the bells. I'm going to shoot off the rockets. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get somebody's attention. Hopefully somebody hears this and realizes this thing's moving quick and we need to get a hold of God. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse number 15. Matthew 13, verse number 15. Look what Jesus says here. Look what Jesus said, and it was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, he says here, he says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears of dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, and this is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into the stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. I'm going to close with this thought here before we get to pray. Do you see fruit in your life? Is there fruit in your life this morning? Can you testify that you've been transformed, that you've been converted, that you've been translated, that you've gone from darkness to light? You once were blind, but now you see. And then if that has occurred in your life, is there fruit in your life? Is there fruit in your life? Are you growing in love? Are you growing in patience? Are you growing in long-suffering? Are you growing in charity and in brotherly kindness? Are you growing in these things and in the knowledge of who Jesus is? What did Jesus say that we're to put the focus on? What did the Bible say? What did God say we're to put the focus on? That's where the power's at. That is where the power's at. Brethren, you can have power in your life. You can have victory in your life. You can be a light. You could be a bright, shining light in this dark world. But let me ask you a question real quick before I pray. Have any of y'all ever had one of those bug zappers at night? Yeah. You put up a light outside, whether it's fluorescent or whatever the zapper light is, or just a regular light like this. What happens when you turn the light on outside? All of a sudden, a bunch of bugs come running around. You start preaching the truth of the Word of God. You start putting forth what God says. Expect some bugs to come around, because they attract it to the light. Look. This church start getting in high gear, trying to go forward, being a testimony to this community. Here comes the battles. Be ready for it. Be ready for the battles. Be ready for it. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. We can't expect nothing less. What did Paul, what did Silas, what did Timothy, what did Philip, what did Peter, what did the men in the New Testament, where did they put the emphasis? And Lord willing, next week, we're going to look at something else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I praise you, dear God. Lord, I know I got stirred up this morning, Lord. God stirred up, Father, this thing's heavy upon my heart, dear God. Lord, I believe this morning, Lord, you're sending a wake-up call, dear God. I believe it. Lord, I believe you're sending a wake-up call, Lord, for us to get our head out of the sand. Lord, to get our head out of the sand, Lord, to see what really matters when it comes to eternity. Dear Lord, what your word puts, what does the Bible put the emphasis on? Lord, help us to get in our Bibles this week. Lord, I pray you'd help these precious brethren to open up the scriptures, to read about Matthew, to read the book of John, to read the book of Luke, to read the book of Thessalonians, to read the book of Ephesians, and see where is the emphasis. Help us just not to go off of what we think or what we feel, but what does the Bible say? Help these precious brethren this week. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's not saved, dear God, I pray you'd bring conviction upon them. Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes to the truth of the Word of God, the truth that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth that is found in the Holy Spirit and what he bears witness to. And Lord, you would deal with them about their soul. Make it plain and make it clear, dear God, I ask. And Lord, those that are saved, help us to put that armor on. Help us to refocus. Help us not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. But Lord, that we would be a good soldier that would be pleased in your sight. Help us now, Lord, as we fight these battles, dear God. Help us not to quit. Help us to go forward in your name. And we ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. If you please stand, I want to close with a hymn. What page is that on? Page number 187. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Amen. Page number 187.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.